From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Welcome to a special edition of Dale Carter's America, the podcast. We have a very special guest in studio with us. Bob Jackaway is joining us from Max Motors with all of their dealerships in the Kansas City area. Bob, if everything has gone correctly, I am on a beach somewhere with white sand and a girly drink in my hand and probably listening to this podcast.
Well, that'd be great. I would like to join you as well.
Yeah. Check out our podcast wherever you get podcasts. You can also subscribe on YouTube and Rumble to get the video versions of it. The audio podcast, wherever you get podcasts, absolutely free of charge. We'd love to have your comments. Just let us know what you think. We set up today as a very special edition of the podcast to deal with one particular issue. And Bob, the reason you're here is because we're going to talk about electric vehicles. And the jumping off point for this is a recent poll that says 41% of Americans are a hard no on the electric vehicle, right?
Right.
We know that there's about 6% market penetration right now on EVs. Is that correct?
Really, it's about closer to 7.
Okay, closer to 7. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration is basically saying by 2032, that number will be 67%.
I think that's a bit aggressive. I don't know that we'll reach that point because we certainly don't have the infrastructure in place to service that many vehicles. But the auto manufacturers are all putting massive investments into vehicles. As you look at the new vehicle lines that are coming out, probably 80% plus are pure electric vehicles.
Right.
So they're pushing the product. They're having the dealer spend a lot of money on infrastructure, which will help cure a lot of the main reasons why people are a hard no on electric vehicles is because of range anxiety, you know, where to get them recharged and the length of time that it takes to get them recharged.
Yeah. When you say infrastructure for the dealerships, what does that mean? What are you going to have to do to retool?
Yeah, well, basically they require us to have not only chargers for our own use within our service departments, but they also want us to have customer-facing chargers too. And there's so many automobile dealerships that if all of the automobile dealerships have chargers, at least 2 to 4 chargers for customer use, that alone will, you know, increase the amount of people that can come in, get their vehicles charged. I also network with, you know, some people in the convenience store industry, and they're looking at, you know, lots of modifications to their business, you know, because they obviously want those customers still coming mm-hmm. to their stores.
Well, definitely will change how we live in America if we go down this road, because, for instance, I have a vehicle that has gas in it, and when it's empty, I go to Quick Trip, I put the hose in, I go get a cup of coffee or a soft drink or something, and I'm back out on the road. Less than 5 minutes. I mean, what's the charging thing going
to
take?
That's one of the things that all the manufacturers are going to have to perfect because, you know, like our cell phones, you know, they say the best way to charge is to do a long-term charge, an overnight charge. Mm-hmm. There are some rapid charges that you can do, and it depends on the manufacturer and the battery itself. A lot of the manufacturers are expanding the size of the batteries in order to give you a lot longer range to where you can do a faster charge and still have plenty of range to get to where you need to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think about this. I spend a lot of time in Indiana because I've got 4 grandkids in mm-hmm. Indiana. And I'm thinking, okay, if I leave Blue Springs and I'm driving an EV, which I'm in this 41% that's probably a hard no right now.
Right.
And 71% of Republicans are definitely a hard no on it. Democrats more likely to buy. So we'll see where that all goes. But, you know, I think about it in terms of I need to get to Indiana. I need to be there in 6 hours. I mean, what am I going to do along the way? Because this car is not going to keep a charge for 6 hours, correct?
Correct. And that's why really, until we get a lot more chargers, you know, public use chargers, that range anxiety is going to be the number one reason, you know, why customers aren't interested in electric vehicles. But I will tell you, If you take a look at just the what the manufacturers want the dealers to do and the amount of chargers that are being put in, and even General Motors, for instance, is willing to put chargers in communities if they're willing to, you know, offer the land use for them. They'll put the chargers in, and then the electric companies, obviously, you know, will handle the billing on it. Mm-hmm. So it yeah. There's a bunch of different interests that are coming together to make this happen. And I think when you take a look at the new products that are coming out, affordable products in all different sizes, you know, SUVs,
big CUVs, trucks like Ford F-150s.
Yeah. Well, and Ram's got a new truck that's supposed to have 500-mile range that's coming out that's all electric.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a fantastic-looking truck. We just saw it at the show. And I think that there'll be some interest there. The main deterrent that a lot of people, especially in commercial use or for towing and stuff, the more stress you put on it, the more battery it uses. And so your range drops down. You know, if you're pulling a big trailer or if it's, you know, hot out, you're running down the highway, you're using more battery. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at the billions and billions of dollars that are being spent right now on the battery plants alone, and then you look at the billions of dollars that the auto manufacturers are spending on the new entry cars that are coming out to market, I do believe that, you know, we will gain more popularity and customers that were a hard no will come around.
Yeah.
You know, because it'll make sense only when that comfort is there.
You're a sales guy. I mean, you want to sell people on things.
Right.
I don't feel like I've been sold on this. I mean, I've ridden in a Tesla, and I think they're kind of a cool vehicle and all mm-hmm. that. What I feel like is happening, and I think why 71% of Republicans are a hard no on this, is because it feels like a cram down from the federal government. Bunch of unelected bureaucrats at the EPA have decided that we're going to save the planet, and the only way that we're going to do that is to end gas-powered vehicles and go with EVs. And I don't buy it. I'm not sold on it.
Well, from that standpoint, I would totally agree. I think it is a cram down, and it's a cram down from the top down. And so, you know, in our business, you know, we don't have much alternative
sure.
because so much is coming at us. We're going to have to get on board. But even in our own dealer body, they give all the dealers an option on whether or not they want to spend the money for the infrastructure to be able to sell these vehicles. And quite honestly, in the Midwest, you know, we're one of the lower use electric vehicle states, you know, compared to the coast and,
sure.
and those areas. So, yeah, there is a lot of there is a lot of cram down. There's a lot of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of changes being done, too. The different tax credits that are allowed, the different manufacturers, how much of those cars are made in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is highly, highly, highly political. And from that standpoint, yeah, I do think that it is very aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, are your customers flocking to the Max dealerships going, show me the EVs?
There is interest in EVs. There was a huge amount of interest in the, you know, the F-150, the Lightning model. So, mm-hmm. yeah, customers are looking at them. Surprisingly, I know a lot of people that have, you know, had Teslas and stuff like that. But not everybody is going to spend that kind of money. You know, one of the downfalls to the EVs is the cost.
Right.
You know, so until the manufacturers can figure out a way to put a good quality product out there at an affordable level, you know, it's going to be kind of a unique area. But we're seeing all of the luxury auto manufacturers are spending lots and lots of money bringing out electric vehicles too, and they're not having any problem selling them.
Hmm. I see that the major manufacturers, like I read somewhere that Ford is going to take a multi-billion dollar loss on this conversion to EVs. It raises an interesting question. How many dealerships does Max have in the metro now?
Well, we have 5 Ford stores, 3 Chrysler yeah. stores, and then we have a Hyundai and 1 GM store. So we have 10 locations
yeah.
plus 2 used car outlets. So we have a lot of stores
mm-hmm.
and we penetrate a lot of, you know, a lot of markets. and they're mostly rural markets.
Right.
So no, our stores that are closer to the city have more EV interest than our rural stores do.
So what's the used car market going to look like in 2032? If you know, the Biden administration gets its way, I don't think they will. Personally, I'm putting hope on the fact that someone more reasonable is going to win an election at some point, take a look at this and say, my God, maybe we ought to have an all-in policy here. You know, drill, let's work on some things like solar and wind and nuclear and different kinds of energy sources, and let's let the best one win. I mean, that's the American way.
Right.
Let the best thing win. But right now we're being crammed down that EV is the way to go. And if they are successful in doing that, I mean, what are we going to do with millions and millions and millions of gas-powered used cars?
Well, that's the other thing, too. I think that you're going to find in commercial use, heavy trucks, stuff like that, there's still going to be a high need for gas. And then right now, a lot of the manufacturers are selling high horsepower vehicles, combustion vehicles, because they're popular. A lot of people are buying them. So there's a real horsepower rage going on amongst the buying public. So it's hard for me to fathom that the thing's going to go totally away. I agree with you. I think there's going to be some modifications along the way. I do think that we're going to have more EVs out there, just like we got into the hybrid business several years ago, mm-hmm. where we had hybrid vehicles out there. But until we get our total infrastructure kind of lined out, I think that there's always going to be a hesitancy there. Mm-hmm. You know, they claim that like the amount of energy that we would need to put in like a convenience store that has a lot of electric fill stations is the equivalent to what some small communities use. So they don't have that much infrastructure. Every building that we have had the EV infrastructure put into, we have to do major retooling,
right,
with the energy company just in order to get it to satisfy the power grid that it's needed. So there is a lot to be done, and a lot of things, and it's very expensive. And just like Ford pointed out, they are going to lose money, you know, for quite a while on their electric vehicle side. And I think that if all the auto manufacturers were to separate their electric vehicles, they won't be profitable for a while. And if you look at what Tesla did for years and years and years, they weren't profitable per se. And, they've been able to acquire stock, but it's been a startup. But overall, you look at they haven't made a lot of money in cars.
You know, I saw a story that the chairman of Toyota basically says America's living on a pipe dream here. You've seen that, right?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I bought my first Japanese vehicle last year. Mm-hmm. I had never bought a foreign vehicle. I was always a Chevy or a Ford or a Chrysler guy. Uh-huh. And not for any given reason. I was trying to wave a red flag. It's just that's what I always bought, was
sure,
like an American vehicle. And as I looked into getting the new vehicle that I wanted a small SUV. First of all, the Japanese model that I bought kept scoring near the top of the deal. But then I kept looking at, because I drove an Escape, and mm-hmm. I thought about going back to that.
Sure.
And it's like, but these American car companies, they're not going to support this very long. So maybe this is the way to go.
Well, and you are right. We see more now than ever, brand loyalty, you know, isn't what it once was. Mm-hmm. You have to earn a customer's business. And if you build a better quality product,
right,
and it's rated by the customers, customers now are willing to entertain all sorts of different brands. So, you know, I mean, growing up in the car business, you know, you had diehard customers that,
sure,
would buy one brand and then they would pass that on to their kids. And, you know, we're a Ford house or we're a GM house or whatever the situation may be. And you don't really see that in today's market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk to people, they may have three different brands of vehicles in their driveway. And basically, I always say, you know, that a customer understands quality and they can fire us at any time.
Yeah.
So if our manufacturer doesn't build a quality product, you know, we won't be able to sell it.
But if you come to me and say, boy, this is the latest cool thing, we want you to drive it, you're going to enjoy it, blah, 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 that's one thing. But if you've got the government on this hand saying, gas-powered engines, we're going to put our thumb, our whole hand on the scale here, mm-hmm. and say that now the standards for what you've got to be able to do force people to go over here and
right.
do this. We're forcing Americans mm-hmm. to look at this and not selling them on it.
Well, and that's where, like you said, there's going to be a large percentage of people that won't do it just because they're being told they have to do it or being forced to do it.
They might go the other way just because they're being told to
right,
do it.
Right, exactly. So I think that's a real sensitive issue that they need to be conscious of. And as we progress, I think that there will be different changes in yeah. that.
Well, and you know the dirty little secret here, that when you plug in this car, it's not wind, solar, and rainbow farts that right. are powering this vehicle.
Right.
It's a coal
mm-hmm. yeah.
grid, essentially, right?
Right. So that's what, you know, we look at solar right now is, you know, becoming real popular because they need to figure out where they're going to get all this energy from.
Right.
And that's one thing that's always perplexed me. You know, in some areas where electric vehicles are really you know, in higher use than like here in the Midwest.
Right.
Well, they have rolling blackouts.
Exactly.
And then they're telling people at certain times, hey, we really would like it if you don't charge your vehicle between this time and this time. So.
And that's with 7% penetration.
Right, exactly.
What is 67% penetration?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to have to be, that infrastructure is going to have to change dramatically. And it's more than just chargers and range envy
yeah.
or, you know, range anxiety. That all is going to have to come together.
Yeah.
And you know, quite honestly, I don't know the answer to that. When I look at the cost of how much it costs to put up these battery plants, you know, $4 or $5 billion to, you know, to make a battery plant, and then the cost of the battery itself, I mean, it's huge.
Humongous.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I have a big question that I want to ask anybody who will answer it for me is, why are we doing this?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you have no choice. Yeah. You're going to get crammed down from the, yeah. you know, the automakers. You got to sell what you've got.
Right.
I just wonder, why are we doing this?
Well, that's a very good question. And that's, you know, the thing that, you know, when we look at it, I never really thought that I always felt that Tesla would be kind of a niche type car.
Sure.
And that, you know, a small percentage of people, I never had envisioned it really going, you know, to the level that it's going to now where everybody's getting on board. So, and like I said, I think the only way that we're going to be able to do it is if there's some participation all the way through from the government, from everybody, but to cram it down and have certain dates, I don't know that that's really going to be the way to go. And then, you know, to me, how much is our energy cost going to go up? You know, because when that becomes such a valuable commodity,
right.
then is it going to increase what it costs to, you know, our electric bill in our homes, you know, versus our cars and all of that. So there are some unknowns there that I can't really answer.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we talk about on this show is federalism a lot, the 50 separate state governments that we have. And there are places where you can experiment on stuff like this. And California is a really big state, and they're very, very left. So why don't they do this? Why don't you know? And you don't have the answer to that. I'm not asking you to. But they could go 100% EV, and we'll see how it works out.
Well, and that's the other thing. So I think, you know, if you had like one auto manufacturer, say like Tesla, that was doing it, and you had a smaller portion, but when you get everybody involved in it and everybody is mass producing these cars, and like Ford pointed out, they don't think they'll be profitable for quite some time in the EV space, but they still have to be in it because those are the mandates. So I agree, you know, when you take a look at this from the outside looking in, it doesn't make a lot of sense,
mm-hmm.
but everybody has agreed to do it. Everybody is participating. And so the thing is moving on. Now, to what level?
Right.
I agree. I think things will change.
Well, and you know, we talk about the batteries. The battery is the big deal when you've got one of these vehicles. They're very expensive to replace. Mm-hmm. The materials are coming from places in the world where we're essentially raping the planet to get this stuff out of Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the videos. You've got young kids in there mining all this stuff that we need. It puts us further in the pocket of China. I mean, China has a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. so we're going to be begging. We won't be begging Saudi Arabia if we go this way, but we're going to be in China's pocket.
Right. And so if I was a betting person, I would say that there are going to be some changes in it. I do think that EVs are going to be here. I don't think that it's going to be at the level that everybody's talking
right.
about.
I've got no problem with that. I just want people to have a choice, and mm-hmm. I don't want it to be crammed down from the federal government. You know, there are other things about EVs that I wonder about. I'm not sure what your expertise is with the vehicles themselves, but what I'm hearing from other people is they're quite a bit lighter than a standard vehicle.
They are. And
what's that going to look like when we start running into each other with these things?
Well, there's already been issues, like when you're in an accident. You know, there's been how you handle that vehicle when you're in a crash. And then there's a lot more training and sophistication when you're working with these.
When you
batteries.
Say how you handle it, is there a hazardous material
yes,
issue?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a fire issue. And so all of the, first responders, firefighters have had to go through extensive training, on how to handle EVs when they're involved in a collision.
All because the left says we're killing the planet and this is how we're going to save the planet.
Correct.
I don't know. I mean, I just pause and I roll that back in my head and I think about that. And I wonder, what it's going to look like. Because I just don't think that they're looking at this thing. They're playing checkers and not chess. Mm-hmm. They're not looking seven jumps down the board to mm-hmm. see what this is going to look like down the road.
There again, I would agree with you. And I think that, it's not like we haven't seen this before where they put a set of mandates,
right.
then they modify them and they modify them and they modify them again. Look, when I got in the car business, and this was a long, long time ago, they said that we would all be using flying saucers by the year 2000.
The Jetsons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it's 2023 and we're not in flying saucers. So, they all speculate on a lot of these things. And I know it's a little bit scary because everybody's getting on board, but I do think that the numbers aren't going to be able to withstand what they're trying to do.
Well,
I don't think we're going to have enough raw resources to produce that. And I think that we're going to have modifications. And I think there is still a true love for, combustion engine vehicles.
Well, Joe Biden's got a Corvette in his garage. It's where he keeps his classified documents. And I don't think that's an EV.
No, it's not. But, they are coming up with a Corvette that's an EV. So
we'll see. I mean, what have I not covered here? Because you're into this world more than I am. I mean, I get a feeling that if you were going to go to the Ameristar Casino and put down money, you would not put money on 67% penetration by 2032.
I would not. No.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I think the penetration is going to grow. I think they want to put these numbers out there in hopes that they can get to it. But I don't think we're ready, to hit those numbers. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that the manufacturers are all putting billions of dollars.
They are.
In the product and in the battery plants and in the infrastructure, and they're asking the dealers to make that investment as well. So, for lack of a better word, the train is moving,
right.
and we are doing it now.
Right.
How many people are going to get on and actually ride? That's another question.
Yeah. A couple of other questions that I have that I just kind of thought of here. What's the aftermarket for these things like? If you've got a brand new EV, I mean, mm-hmm. what's the used car market for an EV look like?
So far, it's been really good. I will tell you, a lot of manufacturers, and we're trying to get into some different warranty guidelines right now. A lot of manufacturers claim that the car, the battery will outlast the life of the car, So I don't know, once they put their money where their mouth is as far as warranty, if they want to give somebody a 15-year or 20-year warranty,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to know.
Yeah.
But So far, we've traded for quite a few EVs. We've sold quite a few EVs, and we haven't really had any battery problems.
Well, speaking of the battery, what do you do with it after it's expired? Where are we going to put them?
Well, in most stores, they require you to have a separate area, you know, to store that. You typically have to have a forklift because they're very, very heavy, and your people have to be trained to put them in. We just went through, we're building a new Hyundai store, and we just went through a lot of the EV specifications for it, and we had to have a separate storage area. A lot of exclusivity has to go into that product.
Yeah. And what about weather? You know, we get really, really cold weather here in the winter. We get really, really hot weather in the summer. How does that affect an EV?
It does affect it. You know, the hotter it is, the more battery that it takes. The colder it is, the more battery that it takes.
Because you're running the air conditioning off the battery too, right?
Exactly. So it does affect it. And that's one of the biggest complaints that we get, you know, from customers. Right now, from the EVs that we sell, like the Lightning, if you're towing something heavy, it really eats into the range. You know, so I mean, if it's a hot summer day and you're running air conditioning and you're towing a big boat, I mean, you're going to have a range problem.
Well, and you know, when not that it's ever happened to me, but I have a AAA card. Mm-hmm. If I'm stranded somewhere in the middle of nowhere and I run out of gas, I call AAA and they bring gas to me. Mm-hmm. Do they have a contingency for if you run out of electricity?
Yeah, they do have some rapid chargers now.
AAA might carry?
Yeah, that AAA or their vendors, the tow service companies, they carry them on their truck, you know, to where if you just got all the way out, you know, they can do a quick charge. I think it's like 15 minutes and at least get you enough range to get to the next charging station. And they are digitally, you know, there's programs where you know where the places are so you can plot them out. But, you know, it is a little bit concerning if you don't know all the ins and outs.
Well, I talked to Bob Watson, who's one of our sponsors of the podcast, State Farm agent, and I said, you know, what's the insurance cost for an EV versus a gas power? He says, very high.
Yes. they absolutely are, because historically, if there's an accident and it harms that battery at all, I mean, it can cause fire. It can cause a lot of issues. I mean,
Well, you know they're going to wreck.
Well, yeah.
You know, we have wrecks every day in Kansas City with gas-powered cars.
Yeah, exactly. So that is one area that people have been concerned about.
Yeah.
And they've also been concerned about storing them in their homes, you know, in their garages. So there's still some unknowns there. But there, you know, are a lot of unknowns with all cars.
Right.
You know, we end up having recalls and safety items. So. But I do think that they're putting their best foot forward, the manufacturers are, to try to build a quality product and gain that market share.
Yeah. I'm glad you came in today. Bob Jackaway with Max Motors, all the dealerships here in the Kansas City Metro. Mark Muller, a dear friend of mine. You're a dear friend of mine as well. I think this helps. I mean, this cuts through a lot of the BS that's out there.
Yes.
I'm still in the 41% that's not really sold on this, but we'll see. I'm a late adapter anyway, right?
Right, exactly.
All right. Thanks for coming into Dale Carter's America.
Thank you.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.